Sitting here pondering my future with you, in my mind, don't know what to say or do. All I know is that I feel so right. So much, baby, that I'll see you tonight. There ain't no hill we can climb. Say now, baby, speaking from the heart into you. Shaking on benches, I know you felt it too. Let's take this love. In my opinion, I've already come pretty far. There's no reason we can't take it a long way more. Inspiration, this song.
It's the Raven of the Blues. It's Talk Radio Europe on the coast of Spain, Radio Napa on the coast of Cyprus, and of course, Kansas City Online Radio across the United States. And of course, it's a podcast across the world. And welcome to Stuart James in a very different guise, because it's going to be rare people can actually hear you playing like this, isn't it? You've got out of your comfort zone in a way.
Yeah, not off.
Now, because basically, it's much more full on, much more electric. And when Golly sort of said Dave wants acoustic, did you go bloody hell no?
Or yeah, I do acoustic slots. If you come to a show, there might be a couple in it, a couple or three, mm-hmm. maybe four. If I'm getting excited or carried away with it, it's not really my thing. My thing really is the three-piece band that we yes. do, the heavy, you know, the real heavier side of the blues, the side of the rock blues that that interests us, really.
And when you write, do you write electric style as well, in a way?
Well, it depends. They generally will form from the way that, you know, if I'm sat down with an electric guitar and I'm in my studio at home, mm-hmm. a similar setup to this, then it will probably turn into a rock song more yes. often than not. If I'm kicking around the house with the acoustic guitar, you know, I do like the odd ballad, you know, because it does break up a record, whether it's an EP or an album. I mean, this one that we've just done, we called it an EP, but at seven tracks, it's you know, it's a nice yes. bit of value for money, really.
That's right.
So it was just what we had at the time, plus it was only six. It was supposed to be six, but Fool for Those Faces came later, and I liked that a lot as a song, and so I thought that, you know, that really had to be on there. So,
I mean, it's unusual. And Dave Akari has brought out EPs because they're good to sell over the edge of the stage because it can be a bit cheaper, and it's also a great way if you haven't got quite enough material. So, I mean, was it more a matter of you wanted to get something out right now, basically showing
yeah,
where
we
you were?
Yeah, we needed the product. We were kicking around in. I mean, I've been playing since I was 14 now, and I, at 12, and I was in my dad's guitar player. Left his rock band, and I was 14, and all his mates were saying, "Oh, what we're going to do? There's a gig on Saturday at wherever it was." And my dad said, "Well, we'll just use Stuart," and they were all like, "What? Well, you know, how can we use? He's only, you know, X amount of years old, 14 years old." And
what style was your dad's band doing?
It was rock blues stuff. Okay, you know, generally like dreadful covers, really. Like, so I think the opening number was Wishing Well, but
right,
you know, so I bowled up with a 77. Fender Strat that was mm-hmm. just about as big as I was, and certainly probably heavier, and sat in, and I was, you know, that was the start of my gigging experience, really, at that age. So, but like I say, in 2006 we were doing some reasonable stuff,
and that was the beginning of the band, wasn't it, really? 2006,
yeah, it was. Yeah, when I put my own sort of name on it, and turned it from, we used to have a few band names. There's been, you know, different guises, but. People kept leaving or getting sacked, and so mainly drummers, I have to say, but that's be a standing joke if you talk to any of my friends. And so I thought, well, sod it, you know, we'll just call it Stuart James Band because I'm not going to leave. And so,
yes.
But if somebody wants to start a Stuart James tribute band, that'd be quite fun as well, I'm sure.
And your younger brother is the other guy,
yeah,
in the
bass player. Yeah,
he's rather more difficult to sack as well, I guess, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if he hadn't been my brother, I think he'd have gone by now. But no, he's cool. Always driving the van, he's solid as a rock, and, you know, him and his Gibson SG bass are a permanent fixture, really.
You've been likened on many people of when they've reviewed you working live or your album or your playing, you've been likened to Hendrix, to Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
Do you find that cross is happy to bear it or difficult to bear?
Not really. I think the people that say that sort of thing are. Just use it as a. It's just easy to say, isn't it? You know, there's a guy down. You know, there's a guy yeah. down the blues club, or there's a guy up in the blues club in London who's got a Strat
yeah.
and plays quick, and, you know, plays a bit Texas-y and a bit this and a bit that. Well, he's like Hendrix, or he's like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
You know, I learned to play. Listening to the Made in Japan record by Deep Purple. So, and there was one guy actually that recognised that when I was playing at the Boom Boom once. We played with Deke Leonard's Mountain, and a load of Welsh guys came yes. down in a beaten up van. Great, lovely guys. And their drummer, it was the only person, not the only person, but one of the only people that ever sort of noticed the Blackmore thing in my playing. So we came off stage and he went, "Great that was," he says, "absolutely great." He says, "Richie Blackmore is the only thing I've got to say to you." And I thought, yeah, fantastic. You know, yeah. I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah, great bunch of guys. Yeah.
And those were your early influences then, weren't
they? Yeah, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, Nazareth as well. I love Nazareth. Rory Gallagher.
But I mean,
the
age
SRV and stuff came sort of listening to that came later, really.
I mean, the age you are, you're obviously reading your dad's record collection at that stage, were you?
Oh, absolutely, certainly. So, it's a good job he had a decent collection, as it were. I could have been, you know, listening to Barbara Streisand or something.
Can't see you playing that somehow. So
I haven't got the nose for it.
So the 6 years really have been, because you had a kind of, in that 6 year period, it wasn't continuous. So it was a bit of a gap halfway between.
We got to, like I say, we got to sort of a decent ebb or a decent place where, you know, we were playing with, we played with Bonamassa when he first came to England, and we'd done Dr. Feelgood and Sherman Robertson and this, that and the other, and, you know, a few festivals here and there. And but then we all got to, I started a company and it went mental, you know, overnight. It went from a very small turnover to really quite large. But I sold my shares in that about 2 years ago now. And then that immediately, once I'm sat on my backside, not worrying about where to send this van and that van, then the creativity, you know, that sort of thing, going to work for a living, stumps your creativity something cruel, you know.
Did you
The songs just came out, and, and some of the songs were about, it's a really honest EP, and it's the most, I think that's why I like it most, because I've never really sort of bared my soul as much as on this one. And whilst it kind of feels a bit embarrassing, if you like, or you know, it's quite raw in places, I think people latch on to that. And also, you know, everybody has the same experiences, you know. Really, as human beings, we're not particularly that different. So as soon as somebody hears something like Take This Love, and you know, or whatever it is,
they can relate and say,
admit it.
I've been there too.
Yeah, they straight away. And even some of the stuff that I've written, which, you know, in all honesty, the words have been complete bollocks. I've had people say to me, oh, I know what you're talking about there, mate. And I would just think, oh, yeah, thanks. And it's just so not to sort of...
We'll talk about writing and development and all the other things after the next... Wait, number, we're going to for us next.
Yeah. This is a tune called Yellow Dress. A thousand miles from nowhere, a thousand miles from home. I've seen her in that yellow dress, and I'm never going home. Calling up the people who never let her down. The street she talks from her side of the town. Loved her once and I missed her twice. Lines of unknown territories, streets are paved with gold. I'm not as young as I used to be, and things I never told. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and that yellow dress. Imagination and dirty mind will put you to the test. Loved her once and I missed her twice, yeah. Friend, I've caught her on that phone. I've seen her everywhere, my friend, but I'm never going home. Seen her in, babe, that yellow dress, but I'm never going from nowhere, a thousand miles from home. I've seen her in that yellow dress, and I'm never going home. Calling up the people who never let her down. The street she talks from her side of the town. Loved her once and I missed her twice. Territories, streets are paved with gold. I'm not as young as I used to be, and things I never told. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and that yellow dress. Imagination and dirty mind will put you to the test. Loved her once.
my friend. I've called her on that phone. I've seen her everywhere, my friend, but I'm never going home. Seen her in, babe, that yellow dress, but I'm never going home.
The Raven and the Blues playing live acoustically, Yellow Dress, Stuart James. You talked about writing there and your time when you were running a business and kind of all the creative juices were sucked out of you.
They were. Everything was sucked out of me, I think. Almost the entire life, the entire life force was sucked out of me. I spent about, when I came out of that, I think I spent about 3 months just sleeping, to be honest. But we don't want to talk about that.
No.
Some good inspiration, I suppose, but yeah.
And in terms of writing, does it come easy? I mean, do you have to sort of think, I really should sit down and do some hard writing?
Some days, yes. Some days, no. There's always something to write about, and you know, sometimes, you know, it depends what sort of situation you're in at the moment, at the point in time, whether it's good or bad. There's always something to come out of it. Sometimes it flows out of the hand onto the paper, and then the music comes later, or vice versa. And then sometimes I sit down and think, right, I'll have a really good write today, and there's absolutely bugger all you can do about it. You know,
yeah,
it's just like writer's block.
And do the numbers change by the time you put the band into them as well?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I'll start it, and then Junior will come in, and he'd sort of, no, we need a midsection there, we need that there, it's a bit boring, it's this and it's that. Mm-hmm. And then, but now, really happy that we've got Spencer on board on the drums, because he's a very musical drummer, and I've written, I actually wrote Fools with Spence, mm-hmm, on one day when we were just sort of kicking around in the studio, and... yeah, he's adding a lot of weight to it, really, which I've never written as a full band before. I've written a lot on my own. In fact, this album, really, I wrote pretty much on my own, because Junior's obviously still at work. I had the time, mm-hmm, so. But you know, everybody's got their value to add.
And I mean, do you see that as time goes on? Do you see that developing more and more? So that, say, on the next album, we'll actually see the tracks written by the three members of the band.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. There'll be some. You know, sort of trio of credits, if you like. Funnily enough, that one I've just done, Yellow Dress, a friend of mine, Dan, wrote the words to that. I had the music, and we were on holiday in Tenerife probably 10 years ago, and he was writing just nonsense in the back of my diary, and those words were found subsequently 6-8 years later.
Right.
And I just thought, well,
that could be a song.
That goes with what I've just sort of been doing on the acoustics.
So. Do you kind of feel in control of the way that your career path is developing, kind of stuff?
I feel more in control of it now than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
I think whilst I'm more realistic about it, I'm a lot more serious about it as well. And you know, that we've spent, you know, lots of money on that record. We spent a lot of money on sort of the right merchandise to send out with it. We have all business cards that are all uniformed with the logos on and all that sort of stuff, and we run it like a business, you know, and that's kind of how it's got to be. I mean, I flew over to Holland 2-3 weeks ago to meet a tour promoter who we've signed on with. We'll be out there in October doing some stuff, so you know, it's serious enough for me to get on a plane and fly out and see people. Let's put it that way.
I think you have to these days, don't you, really?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to be serious. Yeah. You can't just now, just sending a CD to a venue is completely and utterly useless. You may as well get your, you know, $5,000 that it's cost you to record that CD in time and money and studio and this and that, and flush it down the toilet, because they won't, you know, they don't have time to listen to it. Unless, you know, that's why I don't know how you got mine. I don't think you got mine in the proper packaging, because it came through a channel to you that's known.
Yes.
So it didn't matter. But if you'd have got one direct from me, it would have come in an A5 envelope with a business card slot with the business card on it, and everything's, like I say, everything's uniform, a couple of reviews in there and a band photograph. It's kind of what you got to do, because otherwise, if it doesn't stick out from the crowd, doesn't matter how, you know, it'll never get listened to. It doesn't matter how good the music is, it's got to get listened to first.
I think also promoters these days and festival organisers are looking at your kind of your social media footprint as well, aren't they, mm-hmm. to make sure that you're there and and there's stuff on YouTube and all that kind of stuff, so they know what to expect
as
well.
Yeah, the dreaded Facebook. Yes. If you come and find out what colour underpants I've got on. I actually detest it, to be honest with you, but it's done so much good for the band that I have to be on it. Really?
Yes.
I have to be on it.
I think...
But, you know, I can count my friends on one hand, so...
I'm still undecided. I mean, on the blues side, Facebook is full of blues associations and Association of Blues DJs and and people post on all of them, and it's just so much sort of kind of white noise in a way, you know?
Yeah.
And in terms of, does it get us more listeners? Does it promote the music? Well, not particularly, but you kind of have to be there in a way.
So. Yeah, exactly. You've got to be there. Hmm. Just, you know, makes you... It makes you visible, which is sometimes a good thing, sometimes not such a good thing.
And now, in terms of this year, as we head into the festival season, have you got any sort of good gigs lined up for the summer? Or
Hebden Bridge Blues Festival, 8 o'clock Saturday night on the 2nd of June. That promises to be a good one. We'll probably be doing something else up north a couple of days before there. I've not confirmed it yet, but there'll just be warm-ups for that. Then I think I've got something coming up at the Boom Boom in Sutton, but I can't say for certain yet. I've been told it's happening, but I don't want to say yes.
I mean, you've been there before, support,
that's right. Yeah, good few times. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, because you know well. Beat Fiends too. Yeah. Mm. I was up there on Saturday actually. I watched Billy Walton. Mm. Yeah, he's very good. Yeah, very really tight band.
And Pete's written some nice things about you in the
band. Yeah, he has. Bless him. Yeah. I'll take four. You know, 4 out of 5 on a review, and some good stuff said in there.
And also, he's quite critical on most reviews. I mean,
he
doesn't like everything.
No. He likes what he likes, and luckily for us, he liked that. Mm. So I think we've got there's a review coming out. We'll be in Classic Rock magazine as well. I think that's a foot. So it's like it's always slow steps, and slow steps in, but all in the right direction. Shall we say?
But there was a quote which I read, which you'd said. I forget where I read it.
Don't give me quotes. What have I been saying?
what was it? It was the right music at the wrong time.
Well, it's always the case, isn't it? If we were sat around now and it was 1969, you know, I don't, you know, with a record like that.
Yes.
And it's the same for everybody who's in this kind of genre. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd all be famous. You know, Eric Clapton, we'd all be down the marquee with Eric, Jimmy and Jeff. You know, that's just how it would be.
Mm.
So, but that's not how it is. And everybody has to, you know, if Simon Cowell says it's good, then it's good.
Yeah.
But the thing is that if you put a 10 billion pound machine behind my record or Joe Bloggs's record or whoever's, then everybody will
go well.
Then it'll be a hit. You know, it's as simple as that. It's only money.
But
we're just happy playing. You know?
I'm loath to say it, but I'm touching wood as I say it. But I'm seeing a kind of a blues rock resurgence going on in
people have talked about that for years.
Oh, I know.
It's just wishful thinking, Dave. Believe me. to think that we're all going to be back down the pub, sort of. Having the kids going mental at 12 bars, I don't think will happen. Oh, it'd be nice if it did.
Yeah.
We'd be in a strong position to start for sure.
I'm seeing a lot of young bands coming through, that's the thing. Mm. A lot of new bands.
Yeah.
And instead of, 10 years ago, it was lots of greybeards basically playing.
Yes.
You know, playing Fleetwood Mac licks. So it has changed in that respect.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. The sort of greybeardy sort of thing is. Yeah, not.
It's still
there, but there's less. They're probably all dying.
We're dying off. Yeah.
But that was the thing with this record that at least I think it's got it's got some balls. Mm-hmm. And there was, not all the reviews that I get are great. There was one that mentioned, you know, that it wasn't long enough to be an album, which I never said it was. But but it was then said that why not do a cover or two? Well. Mm. Why?
Yes.
If I'm writing my own songs, why would I do a cover? You know, and all this sort of business about, you know, I hear people saying they're reinventing or redefining the blues, and then they sit down and play a 12 bar. I mean, I could write as many 12 bars as you like. You've only got to make the words up.
Yes.
It's not There's nothing inventive, you know, but it's nice to do. I'm going to do one in a minute, but with Neil, so...
Now, you see, I think that people have this concept that it's an album is an album. They're back to the 12-inch days. And therefore, you plan the opening track on side one, and you plan the opening track on side two, and the order is critical. And forgetting that these days, people buy them tracks at a time, that's on shuffle, and therefore, all of that kind of stuff you can throw out the window. And so, basically, whether it's three tracks, four, seven, or 15, makes no difference whatsoever.
I did deliberate a lot, actually, over the track listing. I always do.
Right.
I always make sure it has to be right. And this, even down to the spacings between each song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I won't have, for instance, something coming to a crashing halt and then going straight into, I don't know, Take This Love, for instance, or an acoustic one. It's got to be, you know.
You'll lengthen the gap.
I'll deliberate between, you know, whether it's 7 seconds or 8 seconds. Oh, yeah, because I do think that sort of stuff is important, really important.
But it's only...
I had this album was mixed once.
Right.
By somebody, and it was about, I'd say, 85% there, but I've done records before and left them at 85%, and I just wouldn't have it, and so I spent another, it was £600, I think, getting it mixed again, because I was that serious about it, and it's now 98% of what I want, and you can't get better than that. Thanks to sort of Robin Black, who was who mixed it with me, awesome guy. You know, he's got, when you go in his studio and he's got gold records, and you know, he's got gold and platinum actually from Jethro Tull and Black Sabbath and Elton John and this and that. And you know, you're in the right place.
But did you and he agree on everything? Or
almost everything. Almost everything. Yeah, he said, leave me alone and I'll get it to where I think you want it to be.
Yes.
And when I went to the studio and listened to it, I was like, well, you know, that's as close as anybody has ever got it without my input. And I only did a day's worth of tweaks with him. And we disagreed on a couple of bits, but he was very gracious and said, well, you're paying me.
Yes, you're the client.
Yeah, exactly. And so there was a couple of bits that he said, well, we said, you shouldn't do that because it doesn't sound right. And I was like, do it. But yeah, it was a good experience as well.
Is there anything now, if I play the album, you think, oh shit, no, I shouldn't have done that?
No.
That's good.
There's a couple of bits on there that I think could have been maybe slightly better. But like I say, 98% I'm happy with it. You know, it's nice to be able to hand it. It's nice to be able to, when somebody says to you, it's a brilliant record, and you go, yeah, it is. Instead of going, oh well, if I'd done track four and changed that and done this, instead of like sort of moaning about it.
And
it's lovely to be able to say yes.
And 98 is a good figure. So 100, if you got 100%, you'd think, I'll have to give up now. Yeah. I'll never do it again.
Well, it might not be 98. It might only be 95. But, I mean, it's bloody close.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
You mentioned Neil. We're going to do something with Neil now, are we?
Yeah, Neil Thompson on the harmonica, eh?
A whole lot of my money ended up in her hands.
went out and told me I was just a broken down old man. I ain't got no woman, but I don't feel inside. Got a woman that was with me, treated me so dirty, low down and bad. You gotta tell him, Neil. Gets me, I'm gonna treat her just the best that I can. She knows. You know the next woman that life gets me, I'm gonna treat her just the best that I can. And in return, she's gonna treat me like a really good man I really am.
So, very untypical of the band on stage, but yep. Sounding good nevertheless. How do you feel playing that? I mean, I know you've done it some kind
it.
Of...
Yeah. You know, I do love the blues. There's no doubt about that. It's what I would play when I pick the guitar up, yes. Simple as that. I've always been a blues player, and although I like the rockier end, but, you know, I love doing that. We'd sit down at sort of jam nights, and we sometimes do a little duo thing. Please don't ring and book, because I don't like doing it. Yeah, I know you do, yeah, but... We do enjoy it to a point. The only thing is that kind of if you're doing a duo, you'll end up in a bar or a pub, and all you can hear is everybody talking.
That's right.
And that really pisses me off. So that's why I don't like doing it. At least if you've got the full band, you can't hear them talking. Because they can't hear themselves talking.
I mean, does the set change? Depending, I mean, when you walk up on stage, you think, oh, no, something different. I mean, do you have to change the set depending on the audience? And
I will do, yeah. Much to the annoyance of the other guys, I'll be sort of sat in the dressing room going, no, there's they're going to want this, they're going to want that.
I suppose you also change it depending on who you're supporting as well, I guess.
I try not to, because, once it's sort of ingrained, I like to keep it, you know, bang on. Some will run into others, and some will need a quieter one afterwards, or a slower one to, you know, I'm not getting any younger, my hands, I can't play like a lunatic forever, so I'll calm it down on song three or something, so that I don't get cramp or whatever.
Right. But you're only in your early 30s, aren't you?
35, middle 30s, about to go over the hill as well. Oop, dropped a plectrum.
Oh. It's a sign of the fingers going, then, isn't it, really?
Exactly, yeah.
The arthritis.
But it shouldn't be kicking in this early, in a sense. you're obviously worrying about what could that... Because Leo Kottke's still playing pretty well. Yeah.
No, I know I'm not as fast as I used to be, that's for sure. But it's not all about speed.
No, it's not speed.
No. I've got a lot more feel nowadays. Yeah.
And do you practice much these days?
Yeah, I play every day.
Right.
Yeah. If I go anywhere, like if I go on holiday for any longer than 4 days, I'll take a guitar. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get, it's almost like depression almost. I'll just twiddle my thumbs and I can't sit still and I miss it, you know. And even if I've come back before when I've been away for 7 days without a guitar, you know, at 4 a.m. or something, the first thing I do, going through the door and pick up the guitar. and twat about with it.
Yes. You also get a, I suppose you also get a feeling if you're on holiday and you're heading down into a street somewhere and you can hear music playing, you think, oh, I'm
going
to go.
Yeah,
there.
I want to be going. Yeah. Especially when you're like in New York or something on Bleecker Street and everybody's got bluesing out at 4 a.m. down the Cafe War or Terra Blues and you're thinking, what now? trying to get guitars off people.
Yes.
It's always like on holiday getting drunk. Give us a go, mister. And they're like, no. Because they don't know you from Adam. Why would they? But
When you were talking earlier, you're very much in control of the business side of things.
Control's a big word, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's fair, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you really want to know everything from the packaging to the whole bit, really.
Yes.
The Stuart James Band experience is a business.
Yeah. It has to be. Mm. It does have to be, because, like I say, you can't... it's got to be a cut above, you know, the usual sort of whatever you see. You can't go into the club scene and the festival scene, you know, with a pub band and with a pub attitude.
Mm.
And I see that so much, and it's just, you know, just doesn't work.
No.
If you're not running it like a business, you look like you're not, and you're not going to get rebooked, you're not going to get this, you're not going to get that. So that's what, you know, it's what we got to do.
And so when you come back this time next year, you'll have an album this time, will you, or is that going to be...
I've got... I think four or five on the cook at the moment. One's finished. I think that's the new opener.
You road testing them as well?
Am I road testing them? Yeah. I will be. Yeah. This, like, I think we're rehearsing tonight. So, like I say, this new one, I've planned on it being the opener, and it's quite aggressive, shall we say? Good one to open with.
Yes.
Get everybody's attention. So.
It's weird in a sense, you know, writing numbers and things. I'm really pleased with this, and it's also going to be the opener on the album as well. You know,
it might be, unless anything better comes up.
Yes.
You never know.
Mm.
But I think it's a good opener. Should I play you a bit?
It'll open side two. You mean?
Should I play you a bit?
Yeah.
It won't sound right on the acoustic, but it's like... you know, and so on and so forth. Mm. But that, imagine that. You know, with
the band.
You know, a strap with some mental overwound pickups and a full band. It's got some balls, that's for sure.
How many pedals have you got?
Pedals?
Yeah.
Six.
Right.
I'm not a pedal lunatic. One of those is a volume lift.
Mm-hmm.
Two distortions, one Marshall Governor and a Tube Screamer. The Tube Screamer for the sort of bluesier sound. Governor for the rockier stuff, a bit of delay, a spring reverb, Lee Jackson, and a tuner. I think that's it. Oh, and a chorus as well.
Right.
But I only use the chorus on like one or two bits, really. So I'm not a pedal freak. I only used to play with three, actually.
Right.
I can't get the range of sounds that you kind of really need for a three-piece.
So, yeah. Added to the box.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't have any more, though, because there's not enough room. I'll be damned if I'm buying another one.
Yeah. In terms of people want to find out more about you, the website is stuartjamesband.com.
It is indeed. Yeah. You can check us out on the Facebook thing as well. If you search Stuart James Band on Google, we'll be the top 20 searches with all the reviews that have been said about us over the years. You know, there's some reviews far back from sort of 2006, 2007. And YouTube, if you search the YouTube stuff, there's some decent videos. We had four or five cameras on the Welton's Brewery album launch. I'm sure you saw that.
They
came out really well.
In fact,
they did a lot for us, really. People were seeing those and then thinking, yeah, who's this, you know, who's these guys, sort of thing. And, you know, our friend Simon did that for us very kindly and made a cracking job of it. So it's that sort of thing, you know. You can have one camera on it, and it's okay. And it was an okay gig, but you get four cameras on it, and you start shooting, and people will carry on. What, like, hang on, why is this? Why does this look ten times better?
You can have so many cutaways. It's fabulous. That's right.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm really pleased with it. We need to put some more up, actually. So Simon, get your finger out.
Now, because you've gone acoustic for this, and therefore it's so unrepresentative of the band, we're going to close with something from the album, basically, or the EP, call it whatever you will. So I've played quite a few of them, but we don't mind repeating. So bearing in mind,
I think just to show that the complete other side, I'd like you to play fall for those faces, really. And also, I'd like to take this love to somebody out there that's having a bit of a tough time today. So,
yeah,
that one I just done. But yeah, Fall for Those Faces, hardcore SJB.